I'm not quite sure what you're expecting. Oh, I'm echoing, or is it just to me? What you're expecting this session, but it was originally going to be a workshop. It's now whiteboards. We're going to brainstorm a bit. What comes to your minds when you're thinking, I mean, you've come here with some expectations. When you're thinking of non-mission TCKs, what's in your mind? What are you thinking of? Okay. Migratory kids, diplomatic, yep,
business,
army,
military, okay, right, well, if we had a PowerPoint, you would see what I'm kind of hoping we're going to look at today. I'm really talking from my world, okay? So I'm looking at business kids, kids of immigrants, both those who are chosen immigrants for a better life and those who are doing reverse mission. And then for me, it's refugee kids. So I work as an intercultural trainer for an international relocation company, and I started off as a youth trainer. So for about 10 years, I trained the children of people who were going overseas on business. And guys, you're sitting on a gold mine. My daughter worked for KPMG, and she met her boss sitting having coffee, discovered he'd grown up in South America, and she said, oh, that's interesting, my mother does, da-di-da-di-da. And he said, does your mother realize she's sitting on a gold mine? And she said, no, my mother's not a businesswoman. But it did. It funded the minute my ministry. It was great. I got paid £300 a day for sticking with a seven-year-old and cooking and generally having fun. So that's that. I've also done stuff with international schools, been into the Middle East a lot, so I used to go regularly to Bahrain. And the church there used TCKs as their outreach to their expats. So I would go and deliver training in TCKs. They would sell tickets for my sessions in hotels. And then underground, under the radar, I could work with the MKs. So it was funded. And the believe it or not, a number of international schools have never heard of TCKs. So you've got all these teachers who are kind of gobbling it up, which was interesting. And then in terms of immigrants, I've worked mainly, I think, probably with Brazilians who are on the move, who are effectively migrating, even though they don't think they are in the first place. So they've got other issues. And then more recently, I've been working with the Refugee Network. Started off really working because of refugee workers burning out, huge attrition rates, and no recognition of that. But also now we're hitting the issue of the refugee kids who don't get any help when they arrive and then end up being the naughty kids at school. Oh, how exciting. Right, okay. This might help. So business, okay. So for the refugee TCKs, they're not chosen to emigrate. They've got other issues. They're a kind of a different kind of pattern. So I thought it might be helpful just to analyze a little bit what we're doing with here. And then we'll have some discussion. I've got, if we'd done a workshop, I've got some resources that I would use with each of those groups because you tweak what you have. You need to realize that we here, with all our TCK knowledge and resources, have a treasure chest that for a long time has sat in the missions world and hasn't been available to anybody else. Other parts of place, A, they want to access it because, I mean, these companies that pay for their kids to have a preparation, they're not doing it out of philanthropy. You know, they know that the main reason an international assignment fails is because the spouse and children don't make it. So the second TCK conference we had in Germany, do you remember? We had two ladies who came along who are from a non-Christian background. They said, we saw the business conference on TCKs. And they're quite actually upset that it was Christian. And we mentioned God in the first session, because I don't mention God in my, when I'm in my workplace. But at the end, they came and said, this is the best thing we've ever been to. Why aren't you sharing it? So anyway, so just to business TCK. So business is usually, and this would apply obviously to diplomatic to a degree to the military. So when I was in Bahrain and Kuwait and Oman, very often I was working with diplomatic and military people too. I had one guy who was working for the British Foreign Office and he said, they've never done anything for my kids. He said, I'm going to have a word with them. I think for business, am I talking too fast? I talk like an express train, I know. So say, slow down if you need to. Right. Most important, I think, for these families, they're only going to be going for, say, 3 to 5 years. They have anticipated return. Some of them have anticipated serial mobility. So Shell used to move their families every 2 years. Every 2 years, they'd move them on. So that was the pattern of mobility. At the moment, I'm working generally with Jaguar Land Rover, who are going to China and Slovakia for 3, 4, 5 years. So we know there's a finite. So for them, I would always prepare the parents. The parents need to know that these are busy people. They need to know they have time for their kids and time for each other. Some of the kids, you talk to them as adult kids, and they said, I had to make an appointment to speak to my dad. Mind you find MKs in that bucket too. Teaching these folk that relationships are the place of rootedness for their kids, because their concern is that they want their kids to thrive, but helping them to understand that in a mobile childhood, your roots are in relationship, not places, so they must prioritize their relationship. Because what happens is when they go, dad or mum, it's not always dad, is straight into the job, the other spouse is getting the house sorted out, they're trying to get the kids into school, and they're all flustered, and I'm saying, no, no, leave the boxes unpacked. The most important thing is that you have time for each other and you spend time. Invest in your relationship, because that's what will give your kids stability. And this kind of, you know, light bulbs go on. And then I would always talk to them at the profile of the TCK that we would normally do with our folks. Benefits, challenges, the whole Dave Pollock kind of thing. And then I would be preparing the kids. I haven't brought, because I thought we weren't doing this, the workbook. So they have workbooks for 6 to 12-year-olds and teens that deal with many of the similar issues, but particularly important for these kids to know who they are before they go. So we would be doing things like an identity collage. I don't know if you've done that, where you put your name in the middle and you draw. I was doing one with a 13-year-old, actually, who'd come to England from Russia with her German mother. And we did this identity collage, so she'd put her name and she'd put pictures. And one of the things was she'd put a string of pearls. And I said to her, "Why? Oh, are you interested in jewellery?" And she said, remember, I've spent 45 minutes with this kid and that's all. She said, no, that's because I'm precious. And I said, well, that's lovely. She said, yes. When my mummy was expecting me, my daddy said she had to choose between him and me. And she chose me. But, you know, it came up. I did another little boy, and he said, I feel like I'm in a war. And I said, so, you know, and I talked to mum and dad afterwards, and they said, well, we know he had been bullied at school, but we thought it had finished. But obviously there was still, but, you know, the power of expression for these kids who are dealing with big emotions, helping them to think about how they do difference. It's going to be different. And again, pick some tools out of your TCK locker and use it there. I don't know if you've done the exercise. I always get my families to do the exercise. If we had time, I'd get you to do it. Where you ask them in a minute to write their name as many times as possible. Have you done that one? And they do it, you know, and you say, so how was that? You know, oh, I did 25, yeah. And how did it feel? Well, I was writing my name. Put the pen in the other hand and write your name. Oh, and how did that feel? Awkward, you know, uncomfortable. I had to think about it. Well, that's a bit like going and change. You know, at the moment you know how you do things. Do you think you would improve if you practice for the next 6 months writing with your other hand? Yes. Okay, that's that's how you handle difference. And then you can play games about doing things differently. I've got some games in my book. But helping them to understand that difference is okay. And then lastly, a whole thing about making and keeping friends, which would include, think about goodbyes, obviously, but how do you make friends? Helping them to reflect on that. So we'd be talking about tooling the child for change in many ways that I suspect some of you actually prepare MKs for going overseas. We certainly do days of that. But taking my tools from my preparing MKs and putting them in my corporate box and getting paid for it, which is quite nice. But the parents are really anxious for this, and you're doing a good thing. You know, I mean, this is part of my Christian ministry as well. I don't use the God word, but it's part of who God designed me to be and the tools he gave me. So, you know, think about where you've got opportunities for that. Immigrant TCKs, on the other hand, I think we're more about equipping. They're here. You meet them. The decision's done. All right? So it's much more about equipping. And again, I feel with all three sections that we're talking about, it's always starting off with thinking about how you equip the parents. Don't start with the kids, start with the parents. So I'm thinking about my Brazilians who are coming officially, and when they first come, they're coming for jobs or they're coming to plant churches. But they come and they put their kids in British schools, but they have Brazilian church, right? So the kids are going to making friends with their British, but they're going to Brazilian church, all right? And as they grow older, of course, they don't want to spend time here, because these are their peers, they want to spend time here. And then the parents are saying, they're being rebellious. They're acting up. And one of the things we're doing here with the parents is helping them to normalize identity development. You know, we learn culture as a child, we test it as a teen, and we integrate it as an adult. And so helping them to understand that any child that's growing up is exploring their identity. That's normal teenage development. I mean, and with all of these people, I give them at least a tool, it's in the back of Families on the Move, on normal stages of child development. Otherwise, you've got parents who are paranoid about what's happening to their kids and saying, you know, they will go through the terrible twos no matter what. They do go through adolescent rebellion. It's not because you've moved. That's part of it. So helping them to understand normal development so that then they can tease out what is the result of this bicultural experience. So what does it mean to be bicultural? You can have the both end. Again, helping them to understand that their relationship is the place of rootedness for these kids while they're finding out who they are. For the kids, talking about difference, congruity, working with the I am not, I am, the neither nor, and moving it to the both and. So how do they integrate this identity so that they don't deny what's here? They don't get rid of that because they want to be here, but actually there is a way of integrating that. And then help them how to relate to their parents. Help them how to, because what's come out of all the studies about TCKs is the importance of communicating openly within the family, no matter which of these categories. But sometimes you have to coach kids into how to communicate, not only often with the family, but with the community, because very often our immigrant kids are in their own communities. I don't know what your experience is, but some of you I know are working with migrant kids, with refugee kids. They do still want to keep their community. And again, they're seen as trying to break free of the community and the role of the extended family, important. Is that okay? I'm happy for you to kind of... and then the refugee kids, for whom there is not a lot of material at the moment, we're much more, I think, in supporting role. So at the moment, I train refugee workers in working with traumatized refugees and in self-care. And the most important thing for the parents is to help them deal with their issues. We shouldn't assume that all refugees are traumatized, but the fact is that most of them are. So parents are arriving with multiple traumas, things that happened before they came, things that happened on the journey, and then they arrive, and there's resettlement stress and there's rejection at the point of arrival. So parents have got huge issues, and when you're dealing with your own issues, you don't have the capacity to deal with their children, your children. So the reality is that most refugees, soon after they arrive, and for a little while later often, don't have the capacity to deal with their kids. So you have to help them deal with their own issues. They have to get that sorted before they can work with their kids. Coach them on how to help with their kids. What can they do to help their children through change? Now, bear in mind that most refugees come from community-based cultures, extended families. So they haven't had to parent on their own. There's always been grandparents, aunties, uncles, community, because the children are parented in community. So this Western 2 and 2.2 kids is not part of their memory bank. It's not part of who they are. So we need to help them that. We need to help them access external supports. What is there to help them? Both in very practical terms, like social housing, benefit, you know, all the practical things, but who else is around? Is there a mums and toddlers group? Is there a food bank? Is there, you know, what else is around and who else is around to help? Interestingly, in Europe, the most effective helpers of refugees, and it's recognised, are churches. Some of the churches are incredibly ignorant about culture and putting their foot in it right, left and centre, but they are doing a good job in supporting. And accelerate language learning. The kids learn language much quicker than the parents do. And very often children are used as translators for the parents, and they hear things no child should hear. No child should be translating for their parents. I know it's illegal in Sweden. I don't know about in Norway as well. Yeah. I mean, some it's illegal, but it's certainly bad practice ever to let a child translate for its parents. But if they hear what their parents have gone through, children are being re-traumatized on top of that. So the more we can help parents to get, and I know that where we live, we've got refugees who have access to English lessons, but they're at a college over there and they can't afford the bus fare to get there. I mean, it really does come to, can we give you a lift to the language centre? But we've got to be able to give a lift every week. So that's important. And obviously cafe classes. Supporting the kids to work healthily through trauma. Now, again, I don't know what your experience is, but my experience is there are few people in the UK who are trained in children and trauma care. And we're just working through how we can train people. We've got an online training course for refugee workers, but or anybody who wants to know about working with traumatised people, but children are another issue. There's a great couple working for YWAM out of, well, one of them's Brazilian, one of them's Dutch, John and Jeanette Lucassa, who have I've got their workbook, but not here, a great workbook for helping children to work through trauma. But again, think about the treasure chest. You know, we have access to resources like that. We have access. We were talking about cross-cultural marriage before we came. And some of those resources are applicable to immigrant families and to refugee families. You know, just think creatively about what do you have and how can I adapt it and use it. Helping them to adjust to school. School is very different. It's not rote learning. There's all sorts of things that are expected of you in school that perhaps wouldn't have been expected. And maybe adapting to norms of behaviour. I was in Estonia doing some stuff with the refugee movement across Europe. And one of the guys there was saying, he was from Germany, they'd had Arab youngsters come into their church and the teenagers. And the teenage boys were behaving so inappropriately with the German girls because the picture of girls that they'd got from the media were that we're easy, you know, and therefore they could flirt, they could do what they wanted, and they actually had to end up for a while having separate sessions of their youth group while they kind of coached these guys into appropriate behavior with the girls. So it was very much a coaching role within that. That's a rapid. Anybody want to share anything from experience or questions or what have you? We can go to some tools if you want. Now, that could be that the father doesn't want mum to have access, so you may actually be dealing with another controlling feature out of that. I know that in the UK, we've got, you'll see I work with Welcome Churches, we have a befriended scheme. So we train people how to befriend people when they arrive. And you always do it in twos, because you shouldn't be doing it on your own. And so there's, from the time somebody arrives, this doesn't really answer your question, but it's saying somebody comes, goes to the house, knocks on the door with a parcel of goodies and says, welcome to Watford. You know, we're pleased you're here. Here's some things that might help you, you know, anytime you want. And so you build, you teach them, they have a course on how to build relationship and how to build relationship with people from an Arab culture, because that's important. Who's trying to talk to this woman? Is it other women? Because if it's a man, they're going to get nowhere, obviously. What is the appropriateness of the relationship? So certainly with our churches, we're doing a lot of training in cultural appropriateness. So I did a training in Worthing, and it was supposed to be with the church, and 16 local council workers turned up to it. And I said, what are you doing here? And they said, well, the government teaches us how to process them with paper and do anything about the personal skills. And the first session we did culture, and one of them said to me afterwards, I never knew culture could affect how you did things. That was amazing. And you seemed to know what you were talking about. So, but you know, I think building friendship with the mum is the very first thing. And going to... Yeah, I mean, has she got a case? You need to go through the local authority. Has she got a case? We need to work with local authorities, not squeeze them out. Has she got a caseworker who might be able to get you in? What about the doctor? You know, does she need somebody to go with her to the doctor to register? You can do a little bit of inquiry, and I think building relationship is absolutely key, because one of the things with refugees is that they've lost trust. This world is not a safe place. People are not trustworthy. Neither the people before they left, nor the people on the journey, not even amongst the refugee community has their, you know, they've been violated within that. So it's going to take a long time for them to trust anybody. And you have to earn that trust and work at it. I think that's...
A slightly different remark. I teach migrant kids who've been never out of the country, sometimes even never out of the city. So I try to apply my TCK knowledge and thought that we could relate, and we do have things in common, but it's also interesting that they have a totally different perspective on the cross-cultural experience. And for them, it's not a problem. Like when I struggle with like fitting in, for them it's very normal to speak Turkish at home and speaking 5 different languages and accent at school. So I'm not sure that we should create a problem when they don't see it as a problem. And yet, it's difficult to help them understand the underlying implications, so that they might still struggle with a couple of things, and to make them aware what culture actually is. And with teenagers, it's really difficult to do that. To not say, okay, I'm going to tell you this is how the world works, or this is who you are, without creating a problem that they don't necessarily see.
Yeah. And I think, too, again, going back to teenagers, you know, in most teenage youth groups, you're at some point you're dealing with these issues of identity and things. And again, you can, there's a certain amount that you can normalize. And then, you know, as soon as you've got relationship, they can come up with what they have. Somebody there was...
Yeah, but I think it has to do with generation again, mm-hmm. because now they are the Gen Z generation, and they don't define themselves anymore as like, I'm Turkish, but I live in Germany. They say, I'm German, but my German sucks, or I don't want to speak German. They only struggle when they go back, so they hear from their Turkish grandmother, oh, you're that German, you don't speak Turkish properly, and the German teacher always tells them, your German is too bad for our system. But they themselves don't necessarily see this as a problem or say, like, I struggle with that. They just say, well, this is who I am, and I speak all these kinds of languages. So I think there's also the struggle that they have with their parents, which is difficult for me as a teacher sometimes to access. But they share it, like when you actually build relationships. But many also say, I'm just multicultural and I like it. So they're very accepting, and I want to celebrate that. And yet tell them that, yeah, Germany is a very rigid country, so they will eventually hit walls. And I don't want them to find that out at university when they say, oh, yeah, you are that Turkish boy, even though they are very German.
Yeah.
So it's more people who've been in the country for a long time.
And I think it's worth, I mean, on the back of that, saying that certainly with the refugee kids, those that haven't dealt with their trauma, and I think it may apply to kids that haven't dealt with their issues, that they're fine for a while, and then they've been there 4 or 5 years, and then they start acting up at school, and they're acting up because their trauma's never been dealt with. Then they get to be known as the naughty kids at school, then they get excluded from school, and then you're into a whole other thing. And I think it happens with some of the migrant communities. They're not fully accepted on either side, so then they start to rebel, and it kind of explodes from there.
My question goes on a little bit different topic. Just from the titles you had, business TCKs, immigrant TCKs, and refugee TCKs. With the business TCKs, to find that was in the list over there, just asking with the term of TCKs in context with immigrants and refugees, since especially if I read from Ruth Van Reten, her newest part with the CCK divisions, refugees kids would not be TCKs. So I just wanted to ask you, you chose these titles. Do you have a different opinion on that part? Or is it just like, okay, we're just talking about TCKs and it's basically similar, so you just use the term?
I mean, I used TCKs rather than CCKs because I didn't know that people within this format would be familiar with the term CCKs, and I wasn't going to go into explaining what how many of you have come across CCKs? Okay, the majority of you. If you haven't come across CCKs, if you cross-cultural kids, Ruth Van Reken's written a blog on it. It's in the latest edition of the TCK book. CCKs, I tend to use that definition for all of my business things rather than the TCK definition because it's a simpler definition. And that's saying that it's anybody, any child that's meaningfully and interacted with two or more cultures. I wasn't deliberately choosing TCK over CCK. I thought that would be more understandable.
Coming back to the support for refugees, I have also worked a lot with refugees that were just for a short time in Germany. And I also noticed, like, with my TCK background, it helped me, but I had to understand they are not hitting immigrants, so that's what makes it a lot of different. They are immigrants, so it's visible, and also the TCKs have like the difference, they have a privileged lifestyle. You just have to acknowledge that, and they don't, so it's also like you look different and you are not privileged, so it's a other recognition they have in society. So that's something what also is a lot, influences a lot the identity of, or the development of the identity of the kids, because they feel less worthy than the culture they are in right now. So I experienced that it's a lot of help and support if you support them in what they do well and in not always pointing out they are different, because, and so sometimes I noticed I wanted to explain so much and do so much with them, but it was also always in my language or it was hard to get on their level. So what I try to do a lot is offer them places where they can express and be themselves without having those much differences. So it helped work with them with art, do sports with them, and help also the German kids experience, like, you can play with this girl and guy even if he looks different and can't speak your language. So I try to focus a lot my point of view there, like, what can I offer for them and other kids to do, or for them to show me something or to work on their hobbies and stuff, not always pointing out the
difference.
Language.
Okay.
Not always the rules that are here, like always telling them, like, here are different rules. Like, just start in a basic where they can teach you something, or where you just play together something where it's it doesn't matter from which culture you're in. So that's something that they valued a lot and helped me to build a relationship with those kids. So then I had like an authority or a base where I could work on several things. So I think support is also finding something where you can help them express.
Yep.
And build their identity.
We're allowed to bring food into the school system. With older teens, like 16, 17, 15, 16, and 17 or 18, the religion class is where you get a lot of the diversity and a lot of the immigrants and refugees. What works is for them, we do a day of celebrating ethnicity. And so bring a food, bring a dessert, bring something. It doesn't have to be complicated. Have your mom do it or help your mom or whatever, you know, and bring that and we'll celebrate who you are. And that goes over well because in most of our cultures, food is the vehicle through which you create relationship. And so you are not, I don't know how to say it in English, but you're not actively, this is you're touching the subconscious here. When you're using food, you're triggering, okay, this is a time for getting to know each other in community. It brings down barriers.
I think, too, the importance of understanding that families will be expected to be invited as families. You know, we have things, don't we? If something's in an evening, we often assume that just the parents will come. But families expect to come as families. And I think that's kind of... I don't know if it's worth just whipping through some of these. I don't want to go... So this first set of slides is... Sorry.
Can you get into that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get involved. I want to get involved with immigrant kids, and I want to get involved with refugee kids. How do I go about it?
I don't need that. refugee kids is very easy. I mean, well, it depends, obviously, where you live, if you have any refugees locally. I've got in touch, so I'm involved with there's a thing called the Refugee Highway Partnership, which has a European expression, which has a conference every year, all right? So this last year we're in Bosnia, next year we're in Malmö, Sweden. So that's a good place to connect with the whole resource stuff. So that's the big picture stuff. Yeah. The small picture stuff is finding out where it's doing locally. So I moved a year or so ago and I discovered there was a project called Hearts Welcome Syrian Families. So I got in touch with them, met the leader of that, who is from a Greek Orthodox background. It's not a Christian organization. She said, well, great, we got 6 refugee families in Watford. We'd love to. So over some time, built some relationship. They don't have a coordinator, met with the coordinator, who is ex-DIFRA, you know, the government organization. John's come over. I introduced him to one of our elders. He said, we'd love your church to get involved. You know, what can you do for us? So we're actually registering under their scheme. We're not making our scheme. We're being volunteers for them. And so I think, you know, find out where the refugees are, find out who's doing stuff. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And actually, they will then train you. They'll make sure your DBS check, you know, security checked. So refugees is the easiest ministry to get involved with.
And while you're writing, I'll add the immigrant.
Okay.
Tonight, there's a pastor, a Latin pastor, who's coming to talk to me because he wants us to come and do the workshops that we do with parents and with the TCKs in his Latin church here in Germany. So if you'd like to get involved with the immigrant, then seek out, you can, easy way to start is seek out the immigrant ethnic churches.
Yeah.
They may not be in Google, they may not be anywhere other than you need to talk then to the German pastors, say it. Is there an ethnic church that is meeting in your church building? Or do you know of anybody in the city? Then you go to the pastor and you present the material on TCK. You don't speak Syrian or whatever. It can be translated. So I'm always encouraging if you're giving the profile, if you're teaching the profile in your own culture, seek the ethnic cultures that surround, and ask them if you could come and give 1 hour or 2 hours. And what will happen is, once they see what it is, once they get involved, when we'll give a workshop, it will be believers, Friday afternoon, and there'll be 10 families. Saturday morning, there'll be 30. Because, and they're non-believers. They families are in desperate need to know what to do with their, particularly teens. So you can, that's an easy way to get involved.
Sports, another way. If you've got, I mean, certainly for us, for the young refugee lads, getting involved with a sports club, football club, that sort of thing is, so anything, it assumes you've got links in the community. It assumes you're not in your little church bubble and you don't know anything else that's going on in your town.
Or if you are in that bubble, break it.
Break it, go out of it. I mean, so like you, I go to the Brazilian churches and they say, those four names are the four big companies that I know of that are doing intercultural training for business. If anybody's got a business head on them, you could start your own company, particularly the youth end of it, because increasingly companies are paying for youth training. So I did a training for HSBC, the big bank. I did a 17-year-old lass recently relocating after 8 years overseas. We had a wonderful day together. So, you know, the door is wide open. You've got far more cross-cultural experience than most of the business world has, and they value it. And you don't have to mention the God word. It's okay. There's an integrity in it. This is God's stuff. You don't actually have to mention his name to say that you're delivering his stuff. All right? There's and so the diplomatic, all of those are very open to what's going on. And you can supplement. I mean, I find their materials quite wordy, so I supplement them with my own. I've got this logbook, which is kind of resources for parents and teachers working with kids. There's lots of, you've probably all got your stuff in your treasure chest that you can use, and tools and things to do. Do you want to see, I mean, you don't have to do this. Do you want to have a quick, I should go through this very quickly. It's not a slide by slide.
So.
Yes. Shall I just sit through this and then, because I'm hoping people have got more resources. Yeah. This is just, and you're welcome to have this afterwards. So I will do this sort of, this is my PowerPoint that I would go to with, there's the crosscut, with my business people. I mean, I would tweak it, obviously, depending on who I was talking with. And so we do things much more simply, the challenges and benefits. Helping them to think about making moves, what you're choosing when you move. There are some times when you shouldn't move because of a child, and you know, just because your job says you should move doesn't mean you say yes. For family life cycle, more of the helping them to think through the big implications. They're only going for 3 years, but this could have long-term implications for the children. So think about the decisions you make about lifestyle, schooling, and all the rest of it. These are some of the things we talk about with parents. Asking them, actually interrogating them, you know, what's your relationship? How do you spend time together now? Because if they're not spending time together now, it's not going to improve when they go. particularly if you've got cultures where parents are important, what role do your parents play in your thinking? Important in cross-cultural marriage. Looking at healthy family help, yeah, so that's that. Looking at, while they're there, how do they build bridges back and forth? Looking at child behaviour, what are signs of insecurity, because these children are going through change. So we say, we try to normalise. So we've normalised the adult movements in transition. We're now normalising children for them, saying that you need to accept that your child might regress. And then I also talk about a little bit about re-entry, even though they haven't gone yet, because I know they're going to come back, and they're probably not going to get a repatriation program. So we talk about that. And then these are some of the things that we might look at with a migrant kid. What's the difference between a monocultural upbringing? We wouldn't necessarily use this language. How do we learn a sense of cultural balance? The world's not the processes are different. We all learn a sense of cultural balance and identity, but the worlds in which we're operating are different if we've got more than one culture. So it's just a more complicated, hidden diversity, as Ruth Van Rieken talks about it, that nobody can see the difference. So you've got your traditional iceberg that we do, and then this one is the kind of TCK iceberg of the usual things that differentiate people, but then all these other things that are part of a TCK, and ask them kind of to identify where they see themselves on that. And then I think this follows up a little bit on what Jackie was saying this morning. This is, here was our normal things, and so we look at how people are dressed and what they speak, but actually flipping it for TCKs, CCKs, migrant kids, and start with the points that are common to everyone rather than starting with their differences. So a bit what Katia was saying, you know, we're all relational beings, we're created with those things, and find out what you have in common with the people you're living with rather than your difference. So start to from that point. And then we look a little bit about this. Have people been going up in a healthy system or an unhealthy system? And that may be because of the community they're in, it may be because of the mission organization, but how free are youngsters to make decisions to move and to grow? So that's a little bit about that. You know, does the community which you're familiar have any signs of being an unhealthy system? Maybe talk through that with the parents. And then for our refugees, recognizing the stresses on parents as they resettle, and the acculturation stress, that often when they're becoming acculturated, there are conflicts between the parents and children. So that's actually, you know, just at the time when you want the family to cohere, there's stress. Struggle with conflicts with peers, like those youngsters I was talking about, the struggle to fit into school, the struggle to form an integrated identity, all part of acculturation. And then just looking at what traumas the children... Oh, I left off future. Anyway. Travelling long distances by foot. While we were in Sicily, we had a message from the Sally Army, Salvation Army in Athens, to say they'd got an Afghan family arrive with a 13-year-old. They'd walked from Afghanistan. The 13-year-old was in hospital with danger of losing his feet due to frostbite. So, you know, these are very real experiences. Helping our folk that are dealing with refugees to deliver psychological first aid, helping them to realize they're not trauma specialists, but how do you access help? But there are things you can do to help people. Yes, obviously confidentiality, all that sort of thing. Some of the signs of stress in preschool children, elementary school children, and high school children. So, helping people spot the signs of stress really is what we're doing. So that's a quick zip through there. Resources, you have something to share. Anybody want a kind of feedback? It's after lunchitis and it's dark and we're all ready to go to sleep. But
for those who work more in larger groups, I'm trying out intercultural exercises with my 10th graders this year because I have many people from all over the world in there, and I just thought, I'm tired of teaching history, I'll just do that. And I discovered a website, it's called interculturallearning.eu. It's been put together by intercultural teachers of all kinds. And it basically has exercises that can go from 20 minutes to 180 minutes on like very practical things like culture shock, values, like I taught culture shock with different card games, and these are 10th graders, so they're very difficult to motivate sometimes, and I have the best lessons in there. And I make them write a portfolio, and what they tell me in this is incredible, like nothing that a normal teacher would get. But they can easily probably be adapted to all other kinds of things if you do introductions to cultural values or whatever. Yeah, so it's very helpful. They give you all the tools there. Just download it. It's free.
Anybody else?
Intercultural-learning.eu. Yeah.
So what was before the learning?
Minus. Intercultural-learning.
Dash, right, yes. I don't know how many of you have used movies and things in terms of helping people to think about being different. I love that. It's a very old movie now. My big fat Greek wedding, which is a wonderful film to watch with TCKs. Anybody ever got any other resources?
Not learning, but we use drawing with teens particularly. And one of the things that I will do, it depends on the age. If it's 13, 14, 15, I'll let them draw with their dominant hand. And the question is, I'd like to see who you are. Draw who you are. Or sometimes I'll be a bit more directive and say, I'd like to see how you integrate all these countries, and show that to me. I don't know how to draw. That's fine. I don't either. Just, you know. But if it's a little bit older, I'll have them do that with their non-dominant hand. And the reason is that when you do it with your dominant hand, you don't have to think about drawing. So you actually think about what you're going to draw. But when you do it with your non-dominant hand, your subconscious is going to come out because you're concentrating so much on how to do it that the subconscious can come out. And I'll give you an example. There's a young man in India. He lives in Hyderabad. Now he lives in Buenos Aires. His mother is Argentine. His father is Indian. And so I asked him, I said, I'd like for you to draw this group. They're older. I'd like for you to draw with your non-dominant hand who you are. And so he drew, and it was just filled with flames. Well, that was interesting. So in a nonchalant way, tell me about the flames. You know, why is all this covered with flames? He says, because my life is hell. Well, what ends up happening is that the father is abusing the mother. These are Christian workers. And now they have divorced, and the mother and the two kids have gone to Argentina. But it began there. So things will come out, but then you have to be able to be prepared to know who to go to. If there are things that come out in Spain, if I see this in Spain, I have to report it. For instance, if he then says to me, which is what happened, what is going on in the family, then I have to report it to social services. So you need to know just a little bit about your laws as well with some of these things. Yeah. But yeah, for whatever that.
I was just going to say about this book too. How many of you have come across the Life in Transition, Life Through Motion? Brought it here. What am I done with it? Oh, here it is. Yeah. Life in Motion, Growing Through Transitions is a set of Bible studies by Ruth Van Rieken. I mean, I've got some on Moses and Joseph, but this is a very, there are not just for TCKs, but for adults as well. But it's really a good little book of Bible studies if you want some kind of practical tools to access. I get my families working on this coat of arms, certainly for younger kids, but for old kids, you know, they put their name in and they make their own motto and then they draw what's important, what creates our family. We also do a family jigsaw, which helps. So I'll give them a picture of a plane or cut into however many pieces for the family, and then they put their names in and what's important to me about the people in the family. We've got this one, which is rate yourself, which is a way of helping open up. So who am I? Am I good at open to differences, put up with things I don't understand, flexible, good observer, looking through some of the skills. So there are some tools. Anybody else got tools?
I use sometimes with teenagers and younger children the movie Inside Out.
Oh, yes.
I know if know it. I just love it.
Sometimes, I certainly think with the refugees, we're so keen to help, we don't actually empower them to help themselves. And I think empowerment for me with refugees is a huge thing. And so my friend who runs a ministry in Gloucester, they have a World Cafe once a month, and they get the refugees to cook for them. They give them the money to buy the food, but they actually do the cooking. And so I think that principle with refugees, whether it's kids or adults or whatever, is thinking, how do we empower them? How do we equip them and empower them to meet their own needs? We're in danger of being, you know, just meeting the needs ourselves rather than actually equipping them for long term. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I think it's really important for me, and I did a lot of work with refugees in Hamburg when they came in. So my dad is originally from Iran, so I speak Farsi, so I had the Farsi for the Afghan and Iranian refugees who came in. And I did a huge session on women because I realized that a lot of the communities that were helping didn't understand that they couldn't have events for men and women, so no women showed up. So I thought I was super culturally aware and prepared and came in with the session how I was going to help women sign up for university and find jobs and get ready. And came in and started talking about what I've done and what I've achieved in Western society and yada yada, assuming they would want the same. And there was a girl who was 26, so same age as me, pregnant with two little kids, and she asked me if I was married and I had kids. And I said, no, neither. And she literally cried for me and started and said she was going to pray for me that I would be able to find a husband and get married and fulfill. And that was the first time in my life ever that someone was pitying my life that I loved so much. And I felt like, no, I will pray for you, that you will be able to be independent and free and do more than look after endless kids that you're having. But it was such a light bulb moment for me because I realized, God, my dreams are not her dreams. And what I was trying to teach her, or actually seeing that she felt so sorry for me in my life, was such a eye-opening perspective that it's not always, yeah, we're different, but my way is the right way, but to really accept that she had no intention on following my life or my dreams that I had for myself.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage you to look into your treasure chest, because you have a lot of treasure there, and I want you to actively engage and look around for who can we share this with. This can be part of our kingdom ministry. It's not just to work within the Christian community or just the expat community, but there's a huge need out there, and you are the guys that have got the tools to meet the need. So go do it. Thank you.
Just one comment.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
We work with Muslims as well. And why are you doing this? Because the God I love has given me a love for people. And it's very easy to talk about God. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't agree with my stance on Jesus. But when the imam says, I'd like for you to come and talk with our families, I say, you understand that who I am. And at some point, if I'm asked a question, and it is relative that I express it's because of my value of knowing Jesus, I will share that. He says, yeah, we know that. We don't like it, but we know we like this. So, so there's, you know, in some of these ethnic cultures, you can very easily talk about God. And I will always, with the Muslim TCKs, I will always start with the story of Joseph, because they know the story of Joseph. And we go from there. This is who possibly you are. And so we talk about that. And it's very easy. The business world, no. But in the religious, ethnic, you need to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to say the number of refugees across Europe that are coming to know the Lord, which is a huge number, are not because anybody's doing proclamation evangelism. It's because people are loving them.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a lady in Greece went to a camp and she went to a meal and she said to the guy, I want to know more about Jesus. So he takes her aside with a lady and says, so what do you know about Jesus? She said, I don't know anything about Jesus. She said, but I've seen how you love each other, light bulb, and I've seen how you love us, and I want to know more about Jesus. Simples. Whereas Meerkat would say, good God, oh, sorry, one more, last one, and then we're going to dismiss you with God's blessing, right?
One of the changes that we have been hearing about, which is perhaps a trend in our time, is about tolerance. And I'm working with the council in Asker in Norway with the ICDP groups, which are spread all over the world. But the two Norwegian people started this program, which is called International Child Development Program. And the basic of this program is that you start from a I call it the land that you build your house on in every group, which is that we identify our values and our views on how we look upon people as persons. And in the groups I have, I can have Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, all different religions in the same group. They all are immigrants or refugees. And they are willing to talk about their traditions, their religions, and their cultural starting point. And that makes it possible for me too, as a Christian in Norway, to say something about the Norwegian culture, the Norwegian traditional values, the Christian belief, which is still the main group of believers in Norway. So I find it's easier to be a Christian together with these groups than I do in the groups when I am in a Norwegian kindergarten or whatever.
Thanks, Sue. Yeah, I did a training with a Saudi family, and the lady was...
You lost the P, I guess.
Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. It was around Christmas time, so she said, so tell me, what's Christmas all about? And I had my Arabic translator who lived in Oman, wide open door, you know, there's this business man's wife, and wide open door. Right. Go and have some tea. Revive yourselves.